Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, for those of you with children, and I know there's just a few, we do have those bags there for you, the quiet bags. Please make use to those if they need them. Otherwise, there are ways to follow along. Kids can take notes as well as the adults, right? And we have those opportunities for you too, so thank you for that. Galatians 5, verse 22 through verse 25. It's our key verse that we're going through as a series. But the fruit of the Spirit, and I once again say it's singular. These are not different things that you get through your salvation experience. These are all one together, but we're going to demonstrate the characteristics of God here. And it is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. That is so key. It is so key to having a successful fruit-bearing tree. You must die. Verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We're going to be looking at John chapter 14 as our secondary text because today we're speaking on peace. We all want to see peace in our lives, in our homes, in our world, in our country. But what peace is the Lord speaking of here? John chapter 14, verse 25. There's a lot of irony that takes place when you understand the background of what's happening as Jesus says these words. John 14, verse 25, and we'll read through verse 27. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Whew, I'm so thankful for that. And then he says these words, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for loving us so much that you would send your Spirit to live within us, that we can be born again, that we can have your Spirit guide us and direct our path, that we can actually walk with you and keep in step with you because we've crucified the sinful nature. Thank you, Lord, that we can bear your fruit, the characteristics of who you are. Yes, we're made in your image, but we are remade as new creations through the born-again experience. Thank you. We're thankful that you give us peace. May this peace of which you speak reside in our hearts. May it resonate within us. And may it be something that is attractive to the world, because so many of the things in this world are distracting them from you. May we be an attraction to those who are lost and hurting. I pray, God, that you will be honored in our midst as we continue in faith to hear your words. Help me to speak them. Help us all to hear them and apply them by your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. It's interesting, Jesus says these words to his disciples, and you know that most of them die because of their faith. I went through and I broke it down not too long ago, and I shared how each of the disciples died. They died a martyr's death. Some of them were crucified. Peter himself was crucified upside down by his own request because he didn't feel honored to die the way the Lord Jesus did. And so he was whipped and lashed and all the things that Jesus went through, and then he was hung upside down. You know, John, the one that lived to be old, the one that was considered to be Jesus' favorite, and there's actually a pretty good argument for the possibility that he was his favorite. I don't get that. That's like a little beyond me. One day, maybe if I think of it, up in heaven someday when I'm sitting with the Lord face to face, or maybe on the earth during the thousand-year reign, who knows what we're going to be doing during that, I might ask him, what was that all about? You know, I don't get that. It's a side note, not important really. But here's the thing, John the disciple, survived being boiled in hot oil. I remember when my brother's arm was hit with hot coffee and the skin on his arm just shredded away. It was boiling hot, just poured. Can you imagine oil? He survived. He lived to be in his 90s, but it wasn't an easy life. He got his revelation about the end days when he was on a prison island. He had a tough life. And yet Jesus tells them, I am going to give you peace. I will give you peace. Not the kind the world can give. The kind the world gives is a false peace. It's a fake peace. It's a circumstantial peace. I'm going to give you something even better. I'm going to give you a peace that only I can give. And then they lived it. It's why we can talk about Psalm 23 and realize that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What does that really mean? It says, even if I am to die, I'm not afraid. It doesn't mean you almost die and then you go on. It's saying, even if I die today, I'm unafraid. That's what it really means. We can face death without fear because we have the peace of God in our hearts. There's so many things in our world that can cause us anxieties, worries, or fears. There of course, is the simple things like natural disasters. They're all around us. They're devastating. People die. People's homes are destroyed. We know that there's way too many fires that are happening in our state, in our country. And you've got firefighters going out there risking their lives to keep a home from being destroyed or saving lives. That's a difficult thing to watch. Weather patterns are tough. You know, as a farmer or a rancher, when you don't have the rain, it's pretty disturbing. It can rob you of peace. We have those things going on. We have war. We have terrorism. We, of course, know that our economy is pretty fragile. Probably one of the most disturbing things I see is a country divided. There was a day, and I remember it way back when I was in sixth grade, and I had a challenge from my teacher to go home and ask my dad if I'm a Democrat or a Republican. I went home and I asked my dad. Now, I grew up in North Dakota. North Dakota has a tendency to do the opposite of Montana, apparently. They always elected Democratic senators and Republican governors. I think here it's the opposite. Is that the way it is, kind of historically? I don't know why that's the tendencies of each of the states, but that's what they do. They have their own patterns. But I remember going home and asking my dad, am I a Democrat or a Republican? I had no idea. I didn't know what one was to the other. And Dad looked at me, and here's what he said. He goes, well, it depends on who's running. Well, what is that supposed to mean? I got to go home and tell the teacher what I am. And he goes, well, we're really neither. How many remember those days where there was so little difference between the two? And it really was related to how the government spent money. We don't have that same mix of difference today, do we? There are very clear divided lines, and there is no talking across the aisles anymore. It's disturbing. Why can't we figure out some way to get along? Why can't we come up with good answers to difficult questions? I don't know what the answer is. I honestly don't know. I'm pretty divided myself. I'm a conservative. I believe that life begins at conception. I believe that marriage is between one man and one woman. I believe the Bible is being true. And so many of the things that I believe, when I go into the politics, I find the place that I land, and that's where I stand. And you probably are very similar in the way you feel about your own faith and about your stance on different things. But it's still disturbing no matter what. Why can't we figure out a way to get along? And so we are robbed of what we would call peace in our world if we're not careful. I haven't even mentioned the things that are personal challenges that we each face. You know, I shared a funny story about the Dodge Dakota, how fun it was to hear that bolt snap when I was trying to take that thermostat apart. What a great day that was. There wasn't a whole lot of peace under the hood. I did hold my tongue. I was good. And I still chuckle because Tina saw it all over me. And she's learned to understand there's a time to speak and a time to not say anything. And she was great. She didn't ask me any questions. And I thank her for that because I was able to keep the faith. I want to challenge you to do something that's not very easy to do, especially for you guys. I'm going to ask you to let go and let God. Stop trying to control it. Stop trying to make it happen your way. And put your faith and your hope in Jesus Christ. He knows how to get through this. He promised his own disciples, I am here to bring peace to you. And now if we look at a world perspective, we're like, you lied. Jesus, you lied. Because there's nothing peaceful about sharing your faith to a lost world that doesn't want to hear about Jesus Christ. There's nothing peaceful about going to a temple and telling the Jews they're wrong. The Messiah has come. And you yourselves called out for his crucifixion, speaking of the religious leaders at least. 3,000 people got saved on the day of Pentecost when they heard the gospel message preached. It was not a day of peace and harmony. It is radical. Even what one might call out of hand. 3,000 people got baptized in water that day. That's pretty incredible. And they went on from there, and the church grew. And it created a stir that has never stopped. Many people died because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't peaceful. And yet, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of pain, there was the love, there was the joy, and there was the peace, which God has given us. Peace is a gift. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You are in control of whether that peace can reside and rule and reign. You have that authority. You have the power and the authority to deny the peace of God or to accept the peace of God. Do you realize that? What a treasured, wonderful thing it is. It's intentional. Isaiah 53 verse 5 tells us that the punishment that was upon him, the Lord Jesus Christ, brought us peace. The punishment that was upon him doesn't sound like a peaceful thing, and yet it's what brought us peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. By his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. The world will look at you and wonder, why can you even smile when this world is going in this direction or when the economy is like that or your life is so upside down? How can you be so calm? Shouldn't you be frantic and running around like a chicken with its head cut off? And that's a scary thing, by the way. Really scary. I'll never forget walking around the building and my neighbor Larry was at a chopping block and he had the old axe and it was a gruesome sight. And I come around because my mom sent me to get my dad. And I go running around the corner. I'm about 8 years old. And Larry goes, chop. And he throws the chicken over his shoulder. And where was I? Uh-huh. Yeah. I didn't know dead chickens could run. I didn't know they'd squirt you like squirt guns either. And all of that happened. And I took off running. And my dad will tell you, it was the funniest thing. Because I took off running, and I went one way, and I looked back over my shoulder, and that chicken's coming right at me. And I turned hard left, and that chicken, as a dead chicken will do, turned hard left. And I went zigzag, 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 out of here. And I went back to Mom. I said, you go get Dad. I'm not doing that again. Yeah, that wasn't a very peaceful moment right there. I have no idea what that had to do with anything, but it was fun. Turn with me to John chapter 16, verse 33. Let's talk about peace, not chickens. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. You see that? He promised you two things. I love that he said peace first. I told you this so you will have peace. Now, you can backtrack and read the whole account, but here's the bottom line. In this world, you will have trouble, but peace from God comes first. You will rest assured in your salvation. You will have a peace because my Spirit, the Comforter, is with you. And you can live through anything because my peace is there. It says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now that was something that I'm sure the disciples held on to very dearly when they were at the point of death because they were about to be killed by the hands of the enemy. And it wasn't just the disciples, it was thousands upon thousands of early Christians that died because of their faith. And yet they had peace. One of those that crucified and killed many Christians actually wrote in his notes, a true Christian will not curse Christ. They cannot be induced to curse Jesus Christ. He wrote that, a non-believer. Why? Because they had something the world couldn't give them. They had peace that even in death, they were not afraid. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Peace is a gift. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's probably the greatest peace of all. You have peace with God. Many people like to quote Jeremiah 29:11 and talk about God's plans for us. Not to harm us, right? But to bless. Well, this is a statement that I think is even greater yet. We, because of Jesus Christ, have peace with God. He is not against us. He is with us and for us. Hallelujah. It's a gift. Turn with me to Philippians 4, verse 6 through 7. Peace as a guard. This is a wonderful, wonderful truth. Philippians 4. Verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. Everybody say the word anything.
Anything.
Okay, do not be anxious about anything. There's no thing that you can say to God, well, what about this? No, it's right here. Anything. Just want you to know that. It's helpful. Doesn't get any easier after this. It says, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, we like that, present your request to God. And I always stop right there, because the picture we have in our modern day American Christianity is that when you present your request, God heals, God fixes, God changes the circumstance, and everything is better, right? That's our Americanized Christianity that missionaries feel sorry for us, by the way. They do. They come home from where they are and they look at us and say, I feel sorry for you. I'm like, why would you, living in a third world country where your life is in danger every single day, why would you feel sorry for me? Well, it's because of our Americanized idea of what Christianity really is. That's why. They get it over there. Does that just make you want to fight harder for your true belief and faith in God? It does me. I want to rise above that. And so here's a verse that actually flies in the face of an Americanized idea of what Christianity is. It says, going back to where am I? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Let me finish out here. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's the answer to your prayer. Lord, I am frustrated. Lord, I am anxious. Lord, I am disturbed. Lord, I'm overwhelmed. Here's my request with thanksgiving in my heart. I ask you, Lord, hear my prayer. And God says, hallelujah, it's about time. Here's the peace that I promised you all along. And you're like, whew. Wow. And the circumstance hasn't changed.
Amen.
The circumstance hasn't changed. How do you know? Because the peace of God transcends understanding. That means you have peace when you shouldn't have it. That means the circumstance is still there. And you're saying, Lord, fix this. And God says, no, here's peace. Accept it. Live by it. Be led by it. Have victory with it. And the peace which transcends understanding will guard your hearts and your minds. You will not lose faith in the most difficult circumstance because the peace of God is there. If it didn't transcend understanding, it would say, and God will fix it for you. But he didn't fix it. He blessed you with peace through it. And you know what I'm talking about because you've been there, or maybe you're there right now. It will guard your heart. You see, we have this problem in America thinking that God fixes all our prayers. Every circumstance, he just has this genie bottle thing going on, and we rub the lamp just the right way, say the right words, and everything's fine. No, it's not fine. I have people in heaven waiting for me that died that shouldn't have died. Come on. I didn't lose faith. It was their time to go home. I know that sounds so cliche, but it's true. And the peace of God resides in my heart, even when a lost loved one is there in heaven, and I just got to wait to see him one day. Of course, that'll be after I see Jesus face to face. I'm not going to heaven to see my uncle, my aunt, my other uncle, my grandpas and my grandmas. I'm not going there to see them. I'm not going there to see my cousins who died when they were in their 20s. That's not my plan. I hope to see them. I want to see Jesus. My goal isn't to go to heaven. I've told you this before. My goal is to be with the Father. It's a relationship. It's what it's all about. But the peace of God will guard your heart. You will not lose faith. You will not lose hope. Even when all the things around you are falling apart and you are on death row because you're going to be beheaded because of your faith in ISIS is ready to cut through that with a knife. And that's happening, by the way, just in case you're wondering. Well, if they just had enough faith, that would never have happened to them. Baloney. They probably have more faith than you and I put together. Let's quit worrying about the way we want things and trust God the way he wants things. Now, does God heal? Yes, he does. I've experienced healing. I've prayed and seen cancer removed just like that. I've seen many miracles. I've seen a guy's leg straighten out and amazing miracles that I didn't think were possible as a teen, as an adult, and so on and so forth. And yet now I know there's all things are possible with God. But I honestly think one of the greatest miracles of all is when you can have a peace that transcends understanding. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Peace is also a guide. Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Rule. I like that. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. If he is ruling, that means he's an authority, and he is telling you how to walk through it. Let him rule in your life. Let the Holy Spirit rule in your life. Amen? And you will experience this peace. And you will live this peace. And you'll be led by this peace. I wrote a couple thoughts down, just some personal thoughts. Peace is like a chairman of a meeting. It keeps things going. And I like to say it this way. Peace is like a compass. It keeps things going in the right direction. You can chair a meeting and lead it in the wrong direction. Right? It can happen. But when you have the peace of God ruling, you're going to be led in the right direction. And so let this peace rule in your hearts. It will be your guide. And the last point, peace as a goal. Hebrews chapter 12. I've got a number of verses that I want to breeze through with you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 is one of them. Hebrews 12, verse 14. It says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Focusing on the word peace here. Make every effort to live in peace with all men. Now, peace between people takes two. Right? If somebody is bent on making sure they're your enemy and they want to razz you and rattle your cage constantly, daily, every day, and sometimes people have been in circumstances, whether it's work or play or wherever it might be, and you've seen that. But you are responsible for you. Amen? So make every effort for peace. Don't start quoting old scripture, Old Testament scripture and say, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and then go thump the guy. Understand, when the word says, vengeance is mine, saith who? The Lord. It's the Lord's vengeance, not yours. And I've heard it misquoted so many times. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And this guy goes all crazy, right? It's like, no, you're misunderstanding. Vengeance is the Lord's, hello, not you. Come on. So don't misquote scripture and think you got some kind of right to thump a dude. That's the Lord's job. And trust me, if he needs to thump somebody, he will. It happens. I've been thumped by the Lord a couple times myself. I needed it. I needed a good old-fashioned spanking, and I got a good one here and there, right? We could tell stories of God spanking us. Make every effort. That's on you. Ephesians 4:3, similar. Let's look there. Ephesians 4:3. It says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now, the first one was dealing with all men. That means when you go to the store and you're waiting in line and the cashier is slow and you're getting impatient and the lady in front of you is trying to come up with exact change and she's got at least one more penny in that purse somewhere, right? I'm setting it up for you. And you finally get there and you're in line and the lady's like, how was your day? Beep. Beep. And you're kind of like, come on, beep, 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 beep. I've got to go, right? Anybody ever get impatient like that? Make every effort for peace. Come on. But now we're switching gears and now we're talking about one another here. Yeah, you and the one sitting next to you. And across the aisle and in front and behind, God is speaking to you, the church, the body of Christ. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I don't care if you differ on a scripture. If you have a different opinion on how something should be understood, you still keep peace in the house of God. If you don't like the color of the carpet, it's been decided, move on. Oh, Lord, come on, we're getting down and personal now. There's going to be some things that are going to happen. Some of you aren't going to like it. It's okay, because you're making every effort for peace. Don't you love me? Don't you love me? Come on, I love you. You guys are awesome. Romans 14, we got two more verses we're going to go through, and then I'll wrap it up. Romans 14, it's what do they call that, the two-minute warning? We're getting close, and you can blitz just in a few moments. One of the biggest factors of why we have church at 10 is so you can get to the restaurant before the other churches do. That's honest. Come on. That came up in board meeting. All the board's like, oh, Lord, don't tell them everything. Hey, we have an open board. We have no secrets. Romans 14, verse 16 through 19. I know some of it was because football games too, right? Don't want to miss the whole half. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What this is saying is, it's not that important. Peace is more important. Sometimes we really get bent out of shape over a certain position or view, and we are robbed of peace in the home, in the house of God. That should not be. And that's what we're referring to here. Verse 18, because anyone who serves Christ is in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Isn't that a great word? Don't let these things that you disagree on become dividing places. I think there are other wonderful pastors and congregations that serve God and love God in this community. Why should we ever allow there to be a wall between us? There should not be. We should be cooperating together. We should be honoring one another, lifting each other up. If someone comes to me and say, you know, I really love this church, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but, and they lay out this really good reason from their perspective why they just can't settle here, I'm going to point them to the next best thing. And I shouldn't say it that way. I'm going to point them to another good thing. Let's say it that way. I feel bad. I'm sorry. That wasn't pride. It was a miss. Who knows? Lord, help me. I'm going to point them to another church that loves Jesus Christ and pray that they grow in Jesus. Amen? Because we're working together. We're working for the same kingdom. Hallelujah. Now, if there is a definite difference in faith and there is an issue of whether they really are born again, believing, spirit-filled people, and I say all of these things because I think some people are spirit-filled by our definition and they don't even know it. Yeah, I got a few funny heads there. Well, let's just be honest. When you're born again, you're spirit-filled. That's truth. And let's just leave it there. Yeah, I know that the day of Pentecost is important, and I'm going to preach on it. I'm going to teach on it, and I'm going to lead you through it and hopefully see many of the things happen that will cause you to be a better witness for Jesus Christ. But let's not get bent out of shape and say our differences matter so much that we can't fellowship. Let's not let these things be stumbling blocks. Let's work for peace. James 3, last passage. I appreciate your patience today. This is a big, big message. I realize that. A lot of information here. A lot of meat to chew on. You got to pull out the steak knife with this message. Make small bites. James 3, verse 17 and 18. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Isn't that a great passage to end on? Wow. Wisdom is peace. Peace-loving people. Will you be that peacemaker? Will you sow in peace? With a resounding yes, I pray you all can respond, yes, yes, I am. I will bear this fruit for Jesus Christ. I am a fruit-bearing tree. I'm so thankful that peace is with me, peace is in me, and I can bestow peace to others. Would you stand with me as we close?